Arriving. Arriving where? Here. Here. And where we're sitting. In the environment in which we're sitting. Here. Online Sangha. Here in this form. For this purpose. Here and now. Now this moment. This moment. Here and now. One moment. And then the next. And moments as a flow. Both are part of now. Being present. And how do we be present? Through mindfulness, bringing mindfulness to the forefront, being surrounded all of our sense gates with mindfulness, all things arising in the midst of mindfulness, here and now. Internally, with this purpose of practice, so wholesome the motivation. Feel this for yourself, please. Your wholesomeness of motivation. Perfectly wholesome? Probably not, for most of us at least. But predominantly wholesome. We're arriving into a wholesome presence, following skillful means to do so. Wholesomeness has a felt sense. So do skillful means. When we're employing a skillful mean, there's a harmony to it. We all know this already. But we fail to recognize. So we can do our meditation without ever recognizing the larger context. This is why we arrive consciously, deliberately, mindfully, feeling the immediacy of the moment, such that we now feel present. We are available to the moment, and the moment, therefore, is available to us. This is a choice as to how to meet life, to choose to meet it in a way of being present, rather than slightly removed or dramatically removed, or to go into past or future. The immediacy of this moment, here and now, with wholesome intention, and the Dhamma as our skillful means. What we discover when we are available to this moment, available to life, to repeat that, yes, available to this moment, and yes, available to life, with all of its change, all of its dukkha, and all of its impersonal nature. Yes, available. Yes, available. In terms of the felt sense, yes, in terms of letting our hearts to be available, allowing our hearts to be available appropriately, and yes, to allowing our intuitive knowing to be present. This intuitional knowing, the source of insight. So we are available. And when we are mindfully available, the mindfulness is strong, and we're choosing to be present as a commitment of mind, heart, and body, we start to recognize, can take a while, but the more we do this, the faster we recognize that when we are present, there is choice. Such an important capacity, so easily forgotten in our reactivity to all of the various stimulants that happen almost constantly in the mind body. But yes, there is choice. Is that your truth? Your experiential truth? Choice in regard to what we say or we do. Choice in terms of how we relate when we can't stop what's arising in the mind or in the body. But we can choose how we're relating to it. And the same is true for the heart. Being available allows this choice. We are in the moment. We are available to know the moment, and therefore to have the felt sense of it that gives us the intuitive feeling for what is the appropriate response. And repeating that mindfulness is always there as part of the experience, but many other values are present. Just feel this, please. No matter how meager, like with a health condition, there is still this choice. We choose wholesomely the more we are located in this wholesome activity, the mind set in a wholesome way, and the more we're already employing skillful means before the next moment comes, the more skillful our choice, the more likely we are to remember that we have choice. Not perfect choice, not choice to have it the way we want, but to be responding as best we're able, not just reacting. It is so easy to miss this freedom. It's a freedom that leads to so many other freedoms, to differentiate between the reactive mind and the responsive mind, the reactive heart and the responsive heart. Staying in the felt sense versus leaving the felt sense. Being available in this manner is satisfying in itself. But if you do this for an extended period of time, inevitably you discover that the mind is inclined, when it starts to get collected and unified in this way, to go all sorts of places. Imagination becomes more appealing. Feeling our judging can feel more enticing. And so we come to know through life experience that it's important to align with something larger than just our personness. we as persons are available to life, our personness. But when we are aligned, that availability takes on a larger capacity, a deeper depth, a more wide-ranging stability of wholesome and skillful. We are aligning with the Dhamma in one form or another. So we each choose here and now. Maybe the Buddha, maybe the Dhamma, maybe Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Just yesterday, correction, day before yesterday, I was in a group, and it was Sangha that I led with for myself. This is where I aligned. Or the Eightfold Path, or one section of the Eightfold Path, wise view, wise intention, or the Brahma Viharas of loving kindness, of compassion. Equanimity. Sympathetic joy. Just considering what one wishes to align with. Sometimes it's just spontaneous. You can feel aligning with the Dhamma is happening, and you haven't really made a choice, but it's very solid. Other times you really do need to make a specific choice. At some point you realize, yeah, I have aligned. I have touched some aspect of the Dhamma or my deepest values, love itself. But I am aligned. I'm aligned because my mind feels more protected. That's how we know. Or more settled or more inspired. Settled in that we are directionally aligned. And being directionally aligned in attitude with the Dhamma is very settling as well as protective and inspiring. You can feel this for yourself just now. The felt sense of aligned and available, or available aligned, creates a kind of ground, a place from which we can meet life. We are grounded such that we don't get carried away, swept away, distracted, flown away, overwhelmed by, collapse under. We have a ground to meet life as it presents itself to us. Feel that existence of the groundedness, even a small amount, or a hint, or a hint of a hint. All the way back to the mindfulness and the arriving, we have established a ground that's reliable. It's not perfect. Searching, demanding for, judging, comparing against the perfect, fixing to get the perfect, unskillful. That is not being available. That's demanding. We're available to have a stronger feeling of the mindfulness of the availability of the feeling of choice. But we're not demanding. Humble, humble. May we start this new year with humility, recognizing and releasing demands when they arise, knowing there's always hidden or unconscious demands that we're making of life and others, being sensitive when those manifest, and letting go of them as best we're able. Only as best we're able. Humility, humility. How much more ease there is in the Dhamma practice when there's humility. It's palpable, the difference. Can you feel it even now? Again, a hint. Being established in concentration and mindfulness, grounded in our preparatory practice, we turn to the experience of the physical body, the Buddha's first satipatthana, awareness of the body in the body. So just turn, gently turn. May I experience the physical body. May the felt sense of the physical body be available. The feeling of embodiment may be present, that this awareness from which knowing, the capacity of knowing flows, is embodied in this fathom-long body, just as the Buddha said. Or maybe it's the corporal physicality of the body, the sensations of the body that you are feeling. This too is awareness of the body in the body. All sorts of physical sensations. Are you aware of your posture? You're sitting up or you're lying down, and you're aware of the posture, the form that the body has taken in this moment. Are you aware of the body that you're pushing in some way on the body? Your feet or your arms or your face, you're pushing or contracting. or gritting the teeth. Or compressing the lips or the eyelids. Relaxing. May my consciousness of the physical body stay relaxed. And may I know the body in its relaxed form here and now. The importance of recognizing, cultivating, to apply mindfulness such that one does recognize one's not just vaguely aware, but one recognizes the wholeness of the experience that's happening. One can notice the elements in the body, earth, air, fire, and water. Sometimes the Buddha would do earth, air, fire, and water, and consciousness, or add space, or add both space and consciousness as to the elements. For now, here in the body, noticing the physicality, the earth element of this body. In the hips, hard, firm, heavy. In the thigh bones of the upper legs. The two bones in each of the lower legs and the knee that's formed between these bones of upper and lower. Firm, hard, heavy. The feet, when relaxed, in the feet, it is easier actually to feel the weight of the bones of the feet. Earth element, earth element. Inviting this earth element to rest on earth. The feeling of the earth element then offers the possibility of the breath being deeper, or you're more sensitive to the movement of the breath, or you're more able to experience it in the lower abdomen, or affecting the ribs, or affecting the sacrum. In the back of the spine, or the wave that the breath makes coming in and out. Or being more sensitive if you're somehow slightly clenching the teeth and you can lower the lower back teeth, you can soften in the throat. And the feeling of the earth element more complete. Lower back teeth parted, throat softened, tongue relaxed. The whole face can relax, soothe, a quiet face. A face that's not being impressed on by our various emotions. And in this quiet, non-tension, we feel the wind element moving in the body in what we term breath. receiving the breath, not controlling the breath, allowing the breath to be and being with it. So satisfying, so easily satisfied. This breath in the body, this wind element. Grounded, attentive, and calm. Allows even more availability to know the more subtle experiences that we can experience in our consciousness. We can feel the life force itself. Call it prana, call it chi, ki. Life force. Our own vitality. The aliveness being known. We are alive. We recognize it as an energetic experience, this thing called life, animated in its nature versus the animated of inanimated of stone. Not without movement, but not with this conscious vitality that we know in our aliveness, reflectively known. Thus the breath can feel quite precious. Knowing the physicality of experience, the manifest physicality, knowing the life force being present, we can notice our own emotional experience, that aspect of consciousness that can feel directly that we have thoughts and emotions. And they're always interacting, leading to doing, leading to knowing. Sometimes overwhelming, and we can't stay with that thought or that emotion or that thought emotion. Not judging any of that, but here in the stillness of the earth element, and the steady flow of the vitality reflected there in the wind element, we can meet with an equal mind, a calm, equanimous mind, the recognition that we have emotional consciousness capacity. Have respect for this emotional thought capacity, tenderness towards it. So often, this big ocean of capacity of emotion gets forgotten in the various waves that arise from that ocean of capacity. And we start to believe or act as though we believed that this emotion and that emotion, that's me. Even though one emotion is often contradicting the next, that's me, that's me. And so we go grasping after a kind of imagined satisfaction that is not to be found. Is this not true? We get confused by a wave because it feels pleasant or it feels unpleasant, this wave of emotion, of thought and emotion, emotion and thought. We believe it's permanent when even a superficial look at it, as we see how quickly we change, it's obvious that it's not. And yet we are fooled again and again. And so we open to this emotional capacity of consciousness in a way that is non-clinging. And we know we're doing that. We can consciously choose. May I know my experience emotionally in a way that does not lead to my clinging, my grasping. This is aspirational. Available to the emotional aspect of our life without clinging as best we're able. Having choice even here. Recognizing here in this emotional thought capacity how pleasant and unpleasant arise with our experience, or a kind of non-pleasant nor unpleasant. But so often it's flavored with pleasant or unpleasant. The Buddha's second satipatthana, second foundation of mindfulness. It's all natural arising, this recognition. We're just being present. The Buddha is pointing at the moon. We're experiencing the moon he's pointing at. With gratitude, seeing the hint of possibility of non-grasping. These three aspects of manifest existence, that which is known through the physical consciousness, that through the vital consciousness, that through the emotional thought consciousness. This is the totality of the manifest experience. Would we not choose, insofar as we can, to experience it gently, to have choice, to be able to live in an aligned way such that we can choose non-suffering over suffering, whether it's in the mundane of our life and around diet or behavior, regular behavior, or around our internal experience, or around that which is mysterious. would we not prefer to be available to it in such a way that we have that feeling of aliveness? And that meaningful relationship, that empowered relationship of choice, present in our own experience right here and now, and empowered in the way that we are aligned with it. May my heart open to life in this manner. May in all my manifest moments, may I be able to recognize whether it is suffering or not suffering, to make that differentiation. May I realize that so often I have a choice to choose suffering or non-suffering, that it's really true what the Buddha says. Recognizing, realizing, and then having resolve that allows us to choose non-suffering over suffering in the form of clinging, grasping, demanding, becoming attached to our preferences, taking birth in them in a way that is delusional. As best we are able, as this new year begins, may we live it available to the external and the internal, aligned both externally in our orientation to what's happening outside, and aligned in a way that is felt, embodied, and freeing in our internal experience. We are directionally aspiring. We're not demanding some result as though we know exactly what that result should be. That's not so clear, but so easily felt when we are directionally aligned, felt in our body, felt in our heart, felt in the clarity of mind. Just imagine that just as you are, just as things are externally and internally in this very moment, you can relax the mind and soften into this moment where the heart is available, and the mind registers the more subtle. You don't have to have a particular thing arising. You feel the beingness as relaxed and soft. The knowing relaxed and soft. The heart's caring, relaxed and soft. Not having views and opinions, not looking for some way to test this, but residing here, now, with a relaxed mind that evermore can soften mind, heart, into the experience. It's available in this moment. This is an aspiration for a new year or a new day or a new hour or a new moment. Here and now, in this manner, are always present, even though we are not necessarily able to be present for it. And thus we choose to practice so that we become ever more available to life. This reflective conscious awareness life. Why would we not choose to be available as best we are able? Good to see everyone after what a good way to start our coming together, the first gathering of the new year. With this consideration of being available, available as ways that would be skillful for new